Does God really hear our prayers? Do we need something sometimes to help us remember to pray? I'm giving you something right now that that I'm going to be developing here over the next several minutes. We're going to be speaking today about the prayer of Jabez. And so I want you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles and be trying to find it to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. It'll take you a few moments, so you can go ahead and begin looking. But it's 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10 here in just a few minutes. This was not my intention today. My intention today was to begin a four-part series on the Spirit-filled life. Before I start, are we comfortable? Is anyone cold? My wife is cold. Cold? Okay. Let's, Doug, check this one out up here. I think it's on. Maybe cut it off. This was not my intention today. My intention was to begin a series on the Spirit-filled life. What happened is my wife heard a conversation several weeks back about this Jabez prayer. So she went to the Christian bookstore here last week and overheard another person asking for the book, and so she purchased the book, and here it is. It's a little book, and you probably want, maybe some of you will anyway, want to acquire it once you've heard what I'm going to say today about it. But it's by Bruce Wilkinson, and it's just a really neat little book about a prayer tucked away, hidden in the Bible, in 1 Chronicles, one that you've just about got to be specifically looking for, or just you like reading chronological things about people, you know, and somebody begot somebody, and then all of a sudden you just stumble on it. Most people don't, and you've just about got to know that this prayer is there to really even find it. And so we're going to talk about that today, and I really believe it's going to help us and sort of change our lives. So I hear pages have stopped turning, so evidently you've located the chapter. Let me set a context for you initially. The book of 1 Chronicles is giving the chronology of Judah and Caleb and Hur, specifically this chapter 4. And suddenly, it's just interrupted. I mean, the writer here is running down through there, and in verse 8, he's talking about Cuz and Anub and Zubabah and the families of Aharhel and the son of Haram. And all of a sudden, he's just interrupted by this guy named Jabez. And he talks about Jabez for two verses, and then he just goes right back into it again. And in verse 11, and Chelub, the brother of Shua, and he just kicks over again. So just all of a sudden, there are these two verses that just kind of sit there. And unless you know they're there, you'll never know about the prayer of Jabez. So we want to take a moment today and look at this. So as is our custom, I want you to stand with me. We'll be reading out of the King James, of course. It's the one, of course, that Jesus used. I'm cutting up. But this is the most accepted, so this is why we use it. So anyway, I want you to read as loud as you will with me, reading 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez because I bear him with sorrows. Verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Let's pray. Father, help us now. Lord, we really want to apply this prayer of blessing over our lives, upon our families, for our church, for our region. We ask you to help us. Give us divine truth imparted into us, Lord, and let us take this prayer of Jabez and become a people blessed beyond measure. We ask you to do it now. We ask you to help us. Lord, I ask you to anoint me that I'll be able to share the truths. And I ask you to anoint the people, Lord, that they'll be able to receive this truth. We ask your help now in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Be seated. Prayer of Jabez. Bruce Wilkinson is a tremendous Bible teacher. I had the opportunity to hear him years ago when we lived in Griffin, and we went to one of his teachings on the book of Genesis. And how many of you remember when we did the book of Revelation that I helped you remember the four parts of the book of Revelation by doing some sign motions and things? Does anybody still remember that? Can you still pull that off? Is there anybody here that could pull that off right now? Huh? A mad can? I won't get you up here to try it, but I believe you could. Because, and I know you can, as soon as, if you just think about it a few seconds. I mean, it was very simple. It was, the Son of Man in the what? Midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And then it was the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. And then it was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then it was the Lamb's wife. Remember? And anyway, it was from Bruce Wilkinson that I learned to do that, and how that those motions could help you. And you would have been able to do it much better than you just did it had you just had a moment to think about it, because it took me just a few seconds. But I still remember that teaching that he did on the book of Genesis. And so anyway, it was from him that I learned to do that. Now, what I want to do, I want to read to you his preface on the little book that he wrote, and I want you to read this. And there's a couple of points here that I really want to try to get your attention with. So let's read that. It's going to be on the screen for you, but I want to read it to you. It says, "Dear reader, I want to teach you how to pray a daring prayer that God always answers." Now, that's interesting, isn't it? That God always answers. It is a brief, only one sentence with four parts and tucked away in the Bible. But I believe it contains the key to life of extraordinary favor with God. The petition has radically changed what I expect from God and what I experienced every day by His power. In fact, thousands of believers who are applying its truth are seeing miracles happen on a regular basis. Anybody here could use a miracle? Will you join me for a special exploration of Jabez? I hope you will. I just want to point out those couple of things there. Miracles. There are people in our body right now that need a miracle in their life. They need God to intervene and do some things. We need to have a prayer of blessing upon our lives so that we can really be a blessed people. That we can truly experience the goodness of God. You know that people watch us, don't you? That people watch Christians, not just us specifically. They do watch us specifically, but you do know that people just watch Christians to see if they're blessed or not. Right? Christians are supposed to be, come on, blessed. But oftentimes we're not. Oftentimes we struggle, sometimes even worse than people in the world. We shouldn't be that way. We need to be blessed people. And so I'm praying and I'm believing that this prayer of Jabez is really going to help us. So let's get started. I want to, first of all, just talk about the verse 9, and then we'll talk about the four parts of the prayer. Verse 9 says this, and it says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow." Jabez was born in some sort of sorrow. And it'd be foolish to kind of speculate or try to speculate as to what that sorrow was. We just know that there was some sort of sorrow going on, and it could be of anything. It could have been multiple kinds of things. But anyway, Jabez was born in some kind of sorrow, and actually that's what his name means. His name means Jabez. It's in the Strong's Concordance. It means sorrowful. That's what his name means. So she named him Sorrowful. Now, isn't that a wonderful name? Anybody here named your kid Sorrowful? Jabez was born, and his name means Sorrowful. But it says something special about him here. It says that he was honorable. And that's the point that I really want to make. He was more honorable than his brethren. He was more honorable than most folks. Let's make that practical. What is being honorable? What would honorable be to you or to me? Let's say being honorable is he paid his bills on time. He kept his promises with people. He loved his wife. He loved his family. He worshiped God. He gave to the kingdom. He was an honorable person. He was a good person. But his name means sorrowful. Now I'm looking at people who are honorable, but are experiencing some sorrowful moments. Some of you are really going through a Jabez moment. You know, your name's not Jabez. Your name's not sorrowful, but you're experiencing some things. There are things going on in our body now that we need to really be praying about, and that you need to be praying about. We're having some strange stuff. People are needing jobs, and they're having a Jabez moment. They need to get to work. We have people in our body that are going through family crisis. They're having a Jabez moment, and it's a sorrowful time. We have people in our body right now. They're going through some really strange legalities. They need to be praying this prayer of Jabez. There are things going on in our body I'm thinking of someone right now that is very ill and sick, and they need a Jabez prayer. And if you're not going through something, you probably have gone through something. And if you're not going through something and you haven't gone through something, you probably will go through something. I'm not trying to say you will go through something, but maybe you will go through something that will bring you some sorrow. And what I really want to do today is help us understand the Jabez prayer. Because sometimes we're having a Jabez moment. And I really want to help us here. And the only requirement here for this prayer, this wonderful prayer, is to be honorable. Is to be honorable. Jabez was more honorable than his brother. And therefore, God granted him everything that he asked for. That's interesting. That's interesting. So, now, this prayer is broken down into four parts. And so I want you to see these in your Bible, because I really want you to begin to pray this prayer of Jabez. The first part is bless me. The first part is bless me. And it's in chapter 4 and verse 10. And it says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." You know, we Christians, when we begin to mature, and we've talked about prayer before, a lot of times when people first come into the kingdom of God, they pray a lot. It's a part they think Christians are supposed to pray. And so they pray. And then after you're in the kingdom for a while, and after you're serving the Lord for a while, it seems like our prayer life kind of dwindles. And we don't pray as regularly as we should. And then when we do pray, we feel like that sometimes we're being selfish if we pray and ask God to bless us. Even though the Bible gives us many instructions to pray for personal blessings on your life and ask for what you really want, even though the Bible gives us a lot of instructions upon this, we kind of think that we're being selfish and that we shouldn't pray for ourselves and ask God for specific things. So let me show you just a few verses real quickly. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, it says, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer." How many things? All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Who said that? Jesus said that. In John chapter 16, verse 24, it says, "Hitherto have we asked nothing in my name." Have you asked nothing in my name? "Ask and you shall" what? "Receive, that your joy may be full." How many of us know that getting stuff, being blessed of God, can make us happy? Well, I like it. And then in James 4:3, this has always been a real strange verse to me, because I know what all the other verses are saying. It says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust." Let me talk about that one just a second, just a thought here, because I've always had problems with this particular verse. Why does God, every place else, tell us to ask, 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 and then all of a sudden he says, "Now listen, you don't get what you want because you're asking amiss, you're asking upon your own lust." You know, the simplicity of the verse is that if we want something that we are so stingy with, that we will not benefit the kingdom with, that we will not share for the kingdom with and for the advancement of the kingdom with, that's when we're amiss. But God wants us to have the best. He wants you to have the best. Now, he doesn't want you to be in debt having the best. But he wants you to have the best. God wants you blessed. Let's look at one more in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And it says, "And whatsoever ye ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." We're honorable. We're honorable. We just do what we know we're supposed to do. So every day at our mealtime, I pray for our family. I pray for a blessing from God. I always have done this. I've never had problems asking God to bless me. And Judy and I was talking about this particular aspect of the Jabez prayer. And when I said, Judy, I just don't see that. I said, I think people do ask for God to bless them. She says, no, they don't. I said, well, I do every day. Every day of our lives, when we eat our meal, I pray for Judy and me. I pray for Lance and Bonnie and Jody. And I pray for Jack and Max. And I pray for the church. And I ask God to bless us every day of our life. I don't tell him how to bless us. But I do ask him to bless us. And we're blessed people. We're a blessed family. I mean, we kind of got it together, you know? And I'm proud of our family. And we don't go through some things that other people go through. And I was sharing this with Judy. And I said, Judy, I just really don't see that. She says, Delbert, she says, I promise you, people don't do that. If you're not praying for yourself and asking God to bless you, you're missing something. You need to ask God to bless you. Now, there was an interesting part here about this particular part of the Jabez prayer. It says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. What he's saying here is, you know, God, I want you to bless me, and while you're about it, I really want you to bless me real good. While you're busy blessing me, just go ahead and really bless me. You know, while you're pouring it out on me, just pour all you got out on me. Amen. Give me everything that's mine. Bless me. And bless me like I've never been blessed before. Bless me indeed. I want you to indeed bless me. That kind of stuck in my mind. And the thought that I saw here was that Jabez didn't tell him how to bless him. Did he? He didn't say how to bless him. He just says, bless me. And I think that's where we believers miss it so often is that we don't. We want something, and sometimes our getting something really blocks the real blessings that God has for us. You've got to believe that God wants to bless you. You've got to believe that God wants you to have a lot of stuff. You've got to believe that God wants you happy and having joy, and that He really wants to bless you indeed, that He really does. And what we want, sometimes end up doing is trying to get what we want and not what He wants us to have, and come to the place where we can totally trust God to bless us the best way. Because if He blesses us the best way, we'll have everything. You'll get what you want if you just ask God to bless you with His blessings. Bless me indeed. God bless me, and while you're busy blessing me, just go ahead and really bless me. Just bless me a bunch. How many could use a little blessing right now? Could you? If you can't, just raise your hand if you couldn't use some blessing. Maybe that's the way to do it, huh? You're just so blessed, you just don't want any more. All right, we got one or two hands. Well, all right. Well, good. Well, I want my blessings. I'm telling you. I think it would be the saddest thing to happen to go to heaven and be taken to a place and taken to a room and shown all the blessings that I could have had but didn't have because I didn't ask. You don't have because you don't ask. Now, I want good health. That's a blessing. Come on. I want a lot of money. That's a blessing. I want our children to do right. That's a blessing. I want to keep my mind when I'm old. Come on. Now, I'm a little closer to that now than I used to be, and I'm a little closer to that than some of you are, but I've seen some people lose their mind. I want God's blessing me with a good mind. And I'm asking Him for it. Bless me, God, and while you're about blessing me, bless me real good. Bless me, and bless me indeed. Then the second part of Jabez's prayer was, enlarge my coast. He says, and enlarge my coast. Now, this is the part of the prayer that I really like, that really spoke to me and ministered to me. Look at some other versions. The NIV Bible says, enlarge my territory. The New Revised Standard says, enlarge my border. Jabez was asking God to enlarge his life. And what I really like is the Living Bible. Look at this one. The Living Bible says, oh, that you would wonderfully bless me and help me in my work. It'll fit here. I was going to tell it later. But it'll fit right here. I prayed my first Jabez prayer. I think it was Thursday morning. Maybe on Friday morning. Anyway. And immediately something happened, which I'll share in just a moment. But after I had prayed, I was calling around because there's some folks in our church that are going through a Jabez moment. And so I was calling, and I called this one individual. And I said, listen, while I was in the conversation on the phone with him, the thought of Jabez came up. And I said, hey, I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to do this. Now, as soon as we hang up, I want you to pray this prayer. And I want you just to tell God to bless you because you need work. And he had read to me what the Living Bible said. And I said, well, you pray that. And the person needed a job now. And so hung the phone up, and it wasn't an hour, was it, Kevin? I'm not going to tell you who it was, but I think it was about an hour. And he called me back, and he says, man, that works. I said, what happened? And he said, well, I prayed the prayer, and within an hour, he calls me back and says, they called me and asked me would I be interested in this particular job that I would love to have. As it's just coincidence. It's just, you can't believe that. It's just coincidence. Of course, he'd only been looking for a job for 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, bless me. And bless me indeed. Bless me a bunch. I just don't want any job. I want a great job. I want a job that's got good benefits. I want a job that pays good money. Bless me. And while you're about it, just really bless me. I like that. This is the part that really, really ministered to me. Expand my territory, expand my borders, expand my life. Oh, that you would wonderfully bless me in my work. Make my life bigger and make my life better. You know, doing what I do, I'm always praying for people, and I'm always praying for the ministry. And one of my prayers is that, Lord, I really want you to enlarge our coast. I want our church to really affect this area, not only this area, but I want more opportunities to go out and share. And I want to, we've got some good stuff here that you've given to us. We've got the temperament study. We've got the gifts study. And we really want to do this. Well, I came in that morning and I was praying. And so let me set it up. Let me set it up better. Judy doesn't want me to share this because she says she just doesn't like me to, but I'm going to. So pray for Judy. Judy went to the bookstore and she got this, and I'm thinking like it was Wednesday. I could look it up and see, but it doesn't matter. I'll just tell you, and you'll know what day it was, or some of you will. But anyway, so she comes home and she's telling me about it, and she's all excited and she's pumped, and she's telling Delbert, I want you to preach this. I want you to share this. I really think you should share this. Our people need this. We need to share this. I said, well, let's see, Judy. I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't remember about old Jabez. You know, where is it? And so she was all excited. So the next morning, I think I went fishing. Most likely I went fishing. Great possibility I went fishing. Anyway, she prays the Jabez prayer. And Lord, she just says, Lord, bless us a lot and expand, you know, our borders and make things good for us. And we have a few stocks. We have some. And we like to see our portfolio go that way. You know, I like to see it go up. But this year has not been good. It's been going the other way. And so that morning, Judy got up and prayed the Jabez prayer. And she didn't specifically mention our stock. She just said, Lord, I want the blessings of God that you have for us. And I want them, and I want them now, and I want them a lot. Well, of course, this is another one of those coincidences. This particular day, the Dow Jones went up 399.10 points. The Feds just, for some strange reason, just decided they were going to lower the interest rate a full half a point. Does that make sense? Full half a point. A half a percentage. And the NASDAQ went up 139 points. And our portfolio went... Whew. But we don't want to stop praying. Is that a coincidence? So, you know, she calls me and she tells me, I prayed the Jabez prayer this morning, and the stock market is doing this. I said, oh, cool. I like that. So I come home that day, and I said, where's the book? Give me the book. Let me read the book. So she gives me the book, and so I'm reading the book, and I've just about gotten it all read. So the next morning, I come down here to pray. And so I go into the office, and I start at my computer, and I come out here, and I'm walking, and I'm praying. And so I just pray the Jabez prayer. I said, Lord, I really want to expand our borders. I want to expand our ministry. Lord, I really ask you to do that. I really want to do more conferences, and I want to get our temperament teaching out. I want to do these kinds of things. I want to minister to as many people as I possibly can while I can. And I said, okay. So I went back to the office after I prayed. Went back to the office 30 minutes later or something like that. In the meantime, someone had called. Coincidence. Someone had called, and there was a message on my machine ordering a temperament study plus the tapes plus asking us possibly, they're going to talk about it once they get the material, but possibly coming down and doing a series on the temperament. And this is for a secular psychiatric association. So I had all this going on, you know. I hear it was Judy, she's doing the stock market thing, and here's Kevin, he's getting the job thing, and here all of a sudden, so I'm thinking, well, maybe I do need to preach this, you know, because we do have people who need the blessings of God right now. They're going through a Jabez moment, and they need this. They need to be encouraged to pray a Jabez prayer. They need to open it up. They need to get heavens opened up. They need to get God's blessing upon their lives. So I'm encouraging you to listen, because in a couple of days, this has really made a difference in our lives. And I'm hoping it'll change us. So whatever you're needing, whatever you're needing blessing in, just keep listening, okay? So he asked God, he said, expand my life. Make me more influential. Whatever that it is that I'm over, let me have it. Let me expand it. Lord, expand it so that I will have more responsibilities, but at the same time I'll have more resources, and that I can do a better job, and I'll have more resources to do. How many of you, like, I mean, you got to apply this to your life. What are you over? What are you responsible for? I'm responsible for a ministry. I want this ministry to expand. What are you responsible for? Are you an employee? Well, then you believe God for a better job. God, I want you to expand my job field. I want to make more money. I want to have a better job. I want you to expand me and make me as big as I can be so that I can have more income into my life and that I can give more into the kingdom of God. You don't pray these prayers for your own lust, but you pray them so that you can benefit the kingdom of God. And in the meantime, you're getting benefited. Are you a mom? Then pray for your kids. Pray the Jabez prayer. Expand your kids. Lord, I want my kids to expand. I want my kids to have expanded minds. I want them to have expanded lives. I want them to grow, and I want them to be healthy, and I want them to expand. I want my kids to be enlarged in their beings. Amen. I want them to have large lives. Are you own a business? Well, then you pray. God, expand our business. Enlarge my business. Yeah. I want more income. I want you to expand my business so, Lord, I can have more resources to do more of what you want me to do. Whatever that you're over, whatever that you're responsible for, whatever your borders are, then you pray, God, expand my borders, enlarge my borders. Enlarge me, enlarge my life. Bless me, Lord. And while you're at it, just go ahead and bless me a lot. Come on! I mean, while you're thinking about me and while you're giving me my little blessings, just go ahead and give me a lot of blessings. Nothing wrong with that, is it? While you're expanding me, just expand me so I can expand, so I can expand. It's a chain reaction. The larger this ministry would go and grow, then the more resources we would have to go and grow, and the more resources we would have to go and grow, and the more people we could influence for the kingdom of God, the more souls that could be saved, the more lives could be changed, the more marriages could be saved. Come on, help me a little bit. Hallelujah. I want to talk about the third part of the prayer. What's the first part? Bless me, and while you're doing it, go ahead and bless me a lot. Second part, enlarge my boundaries, enlarge my coast, and make my life larger. Third part is thine hand. He says, and that thine hand might be with me. Now, you'll notice how a child walks with with an adult, with his parent or grandparent. He holds their hand. And this is kind of the picture that Jabez is giving to us. Jack likes to walk with our daddy, and he likes to hold my hand. He likes to walk with me and hold my hand. He had Judy and I on the couch the other day and had Judy on one side. And he said, Grandma, you sit here, and our daddy, you sit here. And he sat there and he held our hands. And children like to hold their parents' hand. And so Jabez said, I want to hold your hand. I want your hand. When you have the hand of God, you have the power of God, you have the protection of God, you have the presence of God. If you have His hand, He's going to have His presence. And if you have His hand, you're going to have His power. If you have His hand, you're going to have His protection. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Exodus 15:6 says, Thy right hand, O Lord, is become gracious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. How many of us need sometimes the hand of God in our lives? We're being attacked. And I'm going to make some comments about that in just a second. Joshua 4:24 says, That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. And Isaiah 59:1 says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that he cannot hear. Jabez says, I want your hand. I want your hand. I want your presence. I want your power. I want your protection in my life. Kid depends on his parent. He holds his hand. Keeps him from running out in traffic and doing things he shouldn't do. I want your hand in my life. When I think about the hand of the Lord, I think about the hand of Jesus. Jesus never touched anything that a miracle didn't happen. I mean, think about it. He touched a guy with blind eyes, what happened? His eyes are open. He touched a woman with a fever, what happened? Fever would leave. He touched a guy with leprosy, what happened? Leprosy is gone. Every time he touched something, every time his hand touched something, something happened. He touched a dead person, what happened? The hand of the Lord with you. I want the hand of the Lord in my life. Jabez wanted the hand of the Lord. Whatever Jesus would touch, whatever Jesus touched with his hand, something happened, a miraculous thing happened. So when we're talking about the hand of the Lord, we're talking about a miraculous life, a life that is filled with miracles. Some of you need a miracle right now. Some of us will need a miracle one day. And we need to learn this Jabez thing. Bless me real good while you're doing it. Expand my life so that I can do more than I could have done without you. And I want your hand in my life. I want your power. I want your protection. I want your presence. I want a miraculous life. So I pray this now. Because when I lay hands on people, and I lay hands on lots of people as I pray for them, I want a miracle to happen. I lay hands on people with cancer in their body. I want a miracle to happen. I lay hands on people that are having family problems. I want a miracle to happen. I lay hands on people that are going through financial difficulties. I want a miracle to happen. I want your hand, Lord. Yes. You want the Lord's hand. Miraculous life, a miracle life, a life that's where miracles were not uncommon. How many of you believe that being a Christian, a life that has miracles around it, shouldn't be the uncommon, it should be the common? And if the hand of the Lord is truly with us, then that should be commonplace. Miracles should just happen for us. And sometimes we have not because we ask not. Jesus says that whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. How many of us are missing our blessing because we just haven't asked God to bless us, expand us, and to let us have His hand? The fourth part of the Jabez prayer was keep me from evil. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. This was interesting to me. Look at some other versions. The NIV Bible says, keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. The New Revised Standard says, that you would keep me from hurt and harm. The word grieve in the Hebrew means to worry, pain, or anger. A couple of things here that I want to share. First of all, Jabez wasn't praying about the effect that evil would have upon his life and his relationship with the Lord. he didn't pray like David prayed, you know, Lord, I don't want to sin against you. What Jabez prayed was, Lord, keep me from evil because it will grieve me. See, Jabez had a revelation about sin, a revelation about temptation, a revelation about evil. Do you know that you don't have to do evil for it to affect you? You can just get around evil and it will affect you. You get around the wrong people. You don't have to even do what they're doing. But if you're just around the wrong people, what they say, what they do, their spirit will somehow influence you. And it will affect you just by being around evil. Keep me from evil. He was concerned about what evil would do to him, not what it would do between him and his relationship with the Lord. And that's kind of how we preach it here. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to forgive you from any sin, anything you'll ever do. You know that's true. You know, you hear me say that all the time, and you know that's the truth. But at the same time, there is an influence and an effect that sin has upon every one of us. Keep me from evil so that it won't grieve me. A couple of other thoughts that I have here, and I'll link all these together. You know, keep me from pain or anger or worry. Worry. There are people here that are worried, controlled by worrying. Lord, keep me away from things that grieve me. Keep me away from things that affect me, cause me to get sick, cause me to worry. Keep me from those things because they affect me. It's a Jabez prayer. Bless me, Lord. And while you're about it, bless me real good. Lord, expand my life so that I can really be influential and that I can do a lot while I'm alive. Lord, I want your hand and your presence with me all the time. And Lord, I need to stay away from evil. Keep me away from evil. Jesus said in Matthew 6:13, he says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." You know, a lot of times in doing what our lives are led to do, we'll run into things that will cause us to be tempted. Let me make a statement. If we're never tempted, we won't sin. But we are all tempted. We are tempted. How do I know that we're all tempted? Because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person has sinned, and therefore every person is tempted. And what temptation will do to us is affect us. It will affect our lives. It will cause us pain. It will cause us worry. It will cause us grief. Lord, keep me away from things that will worry me, bother me, affect me, make me sick. Keep me away from evil. It's not just that I know what effect it has on our relationship, but Lord, I want it to stay away from it because I know what it does to me. It causes me stress. It causes me strain. It causes me problems. It causes me anger. It causes me... Keep me away from those things, Lord. Help me. Keep me away. And then one more thought here, and then we'll kind of start winding up. He said, keep me from this because it grieves me. And of course, one of the other translations says pain. It causes me pain. Do you know, though, that Just looking at this, that a lot of times when we get around evil or we are tempted and we do evil, we'll cause others pain. See, when we really hurt our family, or we really hurt people that we love, or we really hurt something that we don't want to hurt, is because we've got around something that was evil. We got around some people that were evil, or we got around something that was evil, and it affected us or infected us. And now we hurt others. One of the major ways we'll stop hurting others is by staying away from evil. I'll tell you a story. Judy and I went to Dalton yesterday to eat lunch with some friends, and we were coming back. What did Jabez pray? Keep me from evil, that it won't grieve me. And we were coming back, and I was driving along like I drive. And there was in the road a tractor and had this huge combine setting on either side. I mean, it was out there hanging off on the shoulder of the road and then hanging over a good ways into the other lane. Well, the problem was it was going about 20, 25 miles an hour, and I wasn't. I did slow down, but just enough to get beside him and speed up and get around him. But the problem was it was a double yellow line, and it was up a hill. And about the time I got halfway, three quarters of the way around, here comes a car, and it's an elderly lady, and she freaks. And she locks down her brakes. And Judy's a little bit tense because this is going on. And that wasn't the bad part. The bad part is behind the woman that locked down her brakes is the state patrol. That was the bad part. I began to feel a little grief. Especially when I saw him lock down his brakes, turn around, and come after me. I said, "Oh, Lord." Judy said, "He's coming to get you, Delbert." And sure enough, he pulls up behind me and he follows me just for a little while. Then the lights come on and I pull over. And I get my license out. And I'm praying, "Jabez, Lord, I don't want this to grieve me. You know, keep me from the evil that will grieve me. This could be grieving." So he walks up and he says, "Sir, you know why I pulled you over?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I passed on that double yellow line." He says, "Yeah." I said, "Now, that combine was hanging out there, and he was only doing 20 miles an hour." He says, "So you just take it upon yourself to break the law and pass him on a double yellow line." I said, "No, sir, I don't normally do that." I said, "And especially I wouldn't have done it had I known you were there." I said that. I really said that. He said, "Just wait right here a minute." So he goes back to the car, and I see him writing something. I said, "Hey. Yeah, just maybe he'll give it to me and I'll just get on and get what I need to do today." He walks back up to me and he says, "Sir," he said, "I'm going to give you," he called it a courtesy citation. "I'm going to give you a courtesy citation." And he was a very nice officer, very, very nice guy. Very, very pleasant, very nice. And he says, "I'm going to give you a courtesy citation." And he says, "Actually," he says, "I saw what you did. I know why you did it." He says, "That thing was hanging over the road." He says, "But that woman locked down in front of me. And if I hadn't turned around and come and got you and let her see me, she probably would have reported me for not having come and said something to you." In kind of a way, he began to apologize for stopping me. And I knew I had done evil. But we had prayed, "Jabez, keep me from evil that will grieve me. You know, keep me, Lord, from evil. I don't want to do things in your sight that aren't pleasing to you. Keep me from evil." He asked me to slow down a little bit, and I said, "Yes, sir." And then this thing ends. So, asking for his blessings on your life is honorable. Amen. God thinks you wanting a lot of blessings from him is honorable. God thinking that you want your life expanded so that you can do a lot while you're alive is honorable. Yeah. God thinking that you want his hand, his presence, and his power with you all the time, God thinks that's honorable. God thinks that you want to stay away from evil that will grieve you, that will cause you problems, is honorable. Yeah. That's the only requirement for the Jabez prayer. He didn't have to fast. He didn't have to do anything. But be honorable. I'm looking at honorable people. But I'm looking at people that are going through a Jabez moment. And I really want God to bless you. And so I'm going to ask you to do something for me. For the next month, I'm going to ask you to pray Jabez prayer every day. I've given you a calendar, a little calendar here. You got this. Give it to you. On the left of it is the Jabez prayer. On the right side, beginning today, Sunday the 22nd of April, I want you to pray every day the Jabez prayer through March through May the 22nd. I want you to exit out every day that you pray it. Every day. And I want you to do let me just run through some things here. Let me show you what I want you to do. Are they running yet? You got it going? No? Okay. All right. That's all right. I'll just tell you. Number one, I want you to pray this prayer every day beginning today. And keep a record by Xing out, by marking out what that you've prayed it. Number two, I want you to place the prayer. Number two, I want you to place the prayer that I've written out for you, the little paper, in a prominent place. Something that, where you're at every day, stick it on your mirror when you're brushing your teeth, or in your car where you drive to work, or on your Bible, but it's somewhere where you'll be reminded every day to pray this. And then thirdly, I want you to tell one other person, just one other person, that you're doing this and that you want to be accountable, and you want them to ask you on a regular basis if you're doing it. We need to learn to be accountable. Let's let somebody ask us, are you praying? Did you pray today? I think that's a good thing to be accountable for. Did you pray today? All right, and then the fourth thing, I want you to keep a record of changes that happened in your life. I want you to keep a record of what's taken place in your life, what changes have happened, what miracles have happened, what God's done for you. Because if this isn't true, then it's not true. But if it is true, I want some good examples next time I preach it. I want some things to say, because I don't think this will be the only place I preach this. So I want you to give me some good examples. So keep some records, keep some things of divine appointments and miracles that took place in your life, and you know, where you got to minister to people or talk to people or witness to people or bring people into the kingdom of God, or things that God did for you miraculously when you prayed for people, like Lily was talking a while ago. She prayed for that woman and a woman got healed. You know, whatever God does, divine interventions. And then fifthly, begin praying this prayer for your family. Every person that's in your borders, every person that's in your sphere, pray for them. The Jabez prayer. God bless them. And while you're about it, bless them a lot. Lord, take them and enlarge them. Enlarge their lives so that they can be successful. Enlarge them so that they can have the resources to do everything they want to do. Do you know some of you haven't been on vacations in a while because you don't have the resources? I want that to end. You need time with your family. You don't need to be in financial tights. God can help us. You need healings in your body. We need miracles from God to move. And so I'm just asking you, pray this. You know, and as you pray for those that you love, do that. Lord, bless them. Bless them a lot. Enlarge their lives. Make their lives successful. Lord, I also want your hand with them today. I want your presence with them. I want your presence with our children. I want your presence with my husband or with my wife. I want your presence. I want your power. I want your presence. I want your miracles to happen in his life, her life, their lives. And Lord, keep them from evil. Keep them from evil. Lord, even though they're attempting to do what you call them to do, keep them, Lord. Lead them not that way. Keep them, Lord, from evil that will grieve them and make them sick. Keep them, Lord, from things that will upset them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Would you do that for me? Would you make a covenant with me that we'll do this together? And we'll look at this thing. We'll start hearing reports. And we'll start hearing things that happened. If God is no respecter of person, and he's not, if he did it for Jabez, guess who else he'll do it for? He'll do it for you. He'll do it for every one of us. If he did it for Judy and he did it for me, he'll do it for you. The Jabez prayer. The prayer of Jabez. I want to read it as I close. 1 Chronicles 4:10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful, tucked away prayer. Thank you for revealing it to us. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in the lives of these people. Thank you. Thank you for ministering today. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your love. Thank you. Thank you for blessing me. And thank you for blessing my life and my family. Enlarge us, Lord. Let us do more, accomplish more, and keep us from evil, that it won't grieve us. Eyes bowed, eyes closed, heads bowed. Everybody looking around. You don't know Jesus, but you want his blessings on your life. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you've slipped back. You've gotten away from the Lord. I want to pray for you today, because I want your life blessed. I want your life not only blessed, I want you blessed indeed. While God's about blessing you, I want you blessed a lot. I want you to be expanded. I want your life to be enlarged so that you can be successful and happy and have a lot of joy. I want the presence of God to be with you, changing you, encouraging you, and blessing you. And I want you to stay away from evil. I want you to stay away from those things that cause you grief, that make you sick. I want you blessed. If that's you today, would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I just want you to pray. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Okay. Rest of us. I want you blessed. If you know anything about me, I know that you know I want you blessed. I want you blessed so that you can bless the kingdom. And the more you're blessed, the more you can bless the kingdom. And the more you bless the kingdom, the more we can do. The more we can enlarge our boundaries. The more we can enlarge our coast, the more we can do. And you'll say, Pastor, I really want this in my life. I want this to become active, and I want God to give me all the requests that I'm going to make of Him. Would you slip your hand up if this is you today? Hands everywhere. Sure, sure, sure. You'd be crazy not to want this. Okay. We're going to pray for people now. We're going to pray that God will bless us. God will encourage us. Whatever's going on in your life, you need somebody to pray with you, want you to come down. You're sick in your body, your family, whatever's going on in your life, you just want a blessing. You want God to bless you. You want the hand of God on you. Jesus said we can lay hands on the sick and they what? They'll recover. That's what He says. All I do is lay hands on. He works the recovery. Amen. He says we can ask anything, anything in His name, and He'll do it.